143. Sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. Amen. Like the old Puritan said, prayer is the closest that we as God's children can draw to God in this present life. We need to spend more time with God in quiet prayer and meditation. We need to seek his face daily, yearning and longing, desire to know more of him and his truth. And in Psalm 143, we have a special prayer of David. Special because David is suffering a lot of affliction and trials in this 143rd Psalm. They say it was written when he was being persecuted by his own son, Absalom. David was miserable. He said that his heart was even desolate. That means lacking comfort, feeling deserted by God. And yet David finds the faith and strength and courage to pray to God and find the comfort and encouragement and hope that only God can give when we find ourselves in such terrible afflictions and troubles. Nothing troubles us more than when the trouble arises out of our own loins, our own house, when it's very near and dear to us. Nobody can cause us so much pain as those who we love the most. And David is experiencing that here in Psalm 143. And there's a huge difference between David's prayer here in Psalm 143 and that petition which the Israelites asked Jeremiah to bring before God last week, if you were here. They asked Jeremiah to go before the Lord and ask what his will is, and yet they simply asked Jeremiah to go before the presence of God that they might be blessed on their own carnal lust and desires. Yet David's prayer is completely different. David approaches God himself. The Israelites attempted to approach God through Jeremiah. The former in Jeremiah 42 is a petition of a hypocritical and carnal supplication of the flesh for its own personal gain and lust. That's all they wanted. But David here, he seeks God himself. There's nothing wrong with having people pray for us. Paul even said, pray for me and for the preaching of the gospel. Intercessory prayer is vitally important, and we should exercise that. George Whitefield said there's nothing more comforting than interceding on behalf of others. That's the height of true prayer, is when we can intercede on behalf of others. He found the greatest joy in praying for others. And yet, we must learn as God's children to approach God on our own. Learn what it is to enter into the presence of God through the Holy Spirit by the sacrifice of Christ and seek God's face and God's comfort and God's encouragement. David does that here in this 143rd Psalm. I really wanted to look at verse 8, and yet as I look more and more at this psalm, I felt led that we need to really look at how David begins this prayer, because I believe this answers the question for everything he puts before God in this entire psalm. And next week, Lord willing, I want to get to verse 8 and just kind of give you a foretaste of its truth. Listen to David's words in verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. You spend time thinking about that for a moment. That's a wonderful, glorious petition. Help me to hear. Cause me. Cause me. He's asking God to make something happen. Cause me to hear your loving kindness. When? In the morning. And that's amazing when you read the verses that precede verse 8, the struggles David is having, and yet he still requests that God would help him hear the loving kindness of his God in the morning. And yet I don't want to get on that yet this morning. I want to concentrate on how David starts this petition, because I believe this is vitally important for us. I want us to see in verse 1, listen to verse 1 and 2, how David begins his prayer. And we could actually just read this prayer, and if we just thought about it and went home, we should be satisfied with meeting with God. But listen to verses 1 and 2 and this psalm. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication. It's more than praying. He's supplicating, beseeching. Now watch this. In thy faithfulness, answer me. And in thy righteousness. In other words, Lord, I'm begging you, I'm beseeching you, I'm praying to you, I'm bringing my supplications. Please hear me, give ear to it. And in thy faithfulness and in thy righteousness, answer me. Verse 2. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. It's amazing words of David as he begins this prayer before God. You know, you need to understand as believers, it's important how we begin praying. There was a reason why the disciples asked the Lord, teach us to pray. There's a reason why Romans chapter 8 says the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what to pray as we ought. There's a reason for that. We need to learn how to pray as God's people. Not simply daily mealing, praying over our meals or our morning prayers of God bless this day as I go through it. We need to learn to pray. I mean, really pray to God. And the best place to learn how to pray is God's Word. Psalms is a wonderful textbook on prayer. In fact, Psalms is full of praying and how we should pray. And it's important that we learn as Christians how we approach God. We should never approach God flippantly or without reverence or without any real thorough thought and meditation. We should be very careful when we pray. David here begins his prayer in a very wonderful fashion. I cannot emphasize enough the importance of this first verse. If we as believers understand and know the great comforts of this 43rd Psalm, for like all true prayer, we must first acknowledge God in a spirit of humility and contrition. And that's what David does. Listen to this humility and contrition. Contrition is like a repentance. It's like a confession. Listen again to these words after I've said that. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness, and enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. The following verses you'll read of David's despair. But before David even starts with that, David begins with God. I've said this often in the last 7 years. Actually, often over the last 30 years as a preacher. We should always start with God. Never start with your problem. Never start with yourself. Always start with God. You see, in Jeremiah 42 last week, the Israelites pretended that they wanted God to answer their prayer. But actually, as we've seen, they actually only wanted something for themselves. They were more concerned about their own preservation than God's glory. David here starts with God. And he says, I have a prayer. I have a supplication. And he says, I want you in faithfulness and righteousness to answer me. But don't bring me into judgment. Don't bring me up before the judgment seat, because I won't stand before thee. No man can stand before God if you brought me into judgment. But then isn't it amazing? He says, in thy faithfulness and in thy righteousness, answer me. But don't bring me into judgment, because I'm guilty. Look at the humility of David. He approaches God recognizing and acknowledging to God who he is, and that I'm not worthy if you judged me. I'm not anything of myself. I'm nothing, but I'm not asking this on my own. I'm not asking this for myself. I'm asking you in faithfulness and in righteousness to hear my prayers. Peter says it right when he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Listen to that. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Where does the casting all your cares come in that text? After we've humbled ourselves before God. Humility, beloved, before God opens our heart to cast all our care upon Him and assures us of His loving care for us. It's humility that assures us of that. Oh, if we could just grasp that spirit of humility when we come before God in prayer. It doesn't matter. Again, David said his heart was desolate. Again, I remind you, that means deserted. He felt deserted of God. And even though he felt like that, he comes before God. He begins his prayer with humility, beseeching God to answer him, to hear his prayer, but nothing on his own merit. I am nothing. Don't bring me into judgment. The spirit of humility opens our hearts and assures us that by casting all our cares upon God, He will hear us. Faith is an amazing thing. This psalm overwhelms me. I was meditating and I was saying these verses all the way to church this morning. I didn't have any in my car. Usually I got three people in my car. I drove alone this morning. It was unusual. I usually have three ladies in the car, but they're all sick. So all the way here, I was quoting this verse, and the more I quoted it, the more amazing it got. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplication. In thy faithfulness. Now, what's that mean by faithfulness? Listen to me this morning, because a lot of times we misunderstand the word of God by not paying attention to it. In thy faithfulness, answer me. And in thy righteousness. By faithfulness, he's regarding to the truth and veracity of God. Not being faithful as we would see it generally, but it actually means in your truth, because your truth, because of your veracity, answer me. In your faithfulness. Though he desires that God not enter into judgment with him, for in God's sight no man living shall be justified, verse 2, he pleads that God in his faithfulness and righteousness would hear his prayer and supplication. He's basing his assurance on God's faithfulness and on God's righteousness. You know, I found in my own life, and I've seen it in 30 years as a pastor in other people's lives, listen to me closely because I really want to help this morning. Most Christians don't know how to pray because they don't know God well enough. I don't mean to insult anyone or criticize anyone. But your and I prayer life will be dependent on how much we know God. We think that faith is some kind of mystical thing that'll just automatically give us total assurance of God. No, your faith has to grow. And the only place faith can grow is as we learn more about God in the Word of God. And as our faith grows, then our knowledge of God grows, then we as believers begin to pray as we ought to. We would never want our children, we have quite a few children here today, we'd never want our children to stay in that same language bracket of a two-year-old. Mama, water. I'm being a little simple here, but it's the same thing with God. God wants us to mature in prayer. At your age in prayer. Learn more of me so that you might be able to pray accordingly. We pray with understanding, Paul says. David is praying with understanding. He understands something about the faithfulness of God. He understands something about the righteousness of God. And he pleads those two attributes before God that he would answer his prayer. Here's a man who knows his God. One who is not overconfident in himself or prideful, nor is his petition weak and beggarly, filled with doubts and dismay, but is bold in the faithfulness and righteousness of God. Sometimes when you hear Christians pray, you think that's a weak and beggarly prayer. Oh God, if you will, if you want, I just hope that it's your will and hope. And I have nothing against praying in a fashion that we submit ourselves to God's will. But David is praying boldly here. He's not weak and beggarly. Look with me over to Hebrews chapter 4. I want you to show you something. Hebrews chapter 4, well-known verse. I want you to see this. He's not self-confident, he's not weak and beggarly, but he's bold. Not in himself, but he's bold in God's faithfulness and in God's righteousness. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 14. Listen to Paul here. Hebrews 4, what did I say, 12? Hebrews 4 in verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Hold fast that you don't lose it, that you could lose it. Hold it fast. Listen. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Because of that, listen now, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and to help in time of need. Let us come before the throne of grace with boldness. Because of what? Because we have a high priest who knows our infirmities. So the boldness is not in ourselves or our ability or our talents. Our boldness is in Christ. Now, according to that scripture and many others, beloved, there's a boldness which God requires in our coming to the throne of grace. God don't want us coming wimpy to the throne of grace. Not weak and beggarly. Listen to me. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have a prayer of humility and contrition. That's what David's is. But be bold in Christ. And Christians can't do that because they don't know who he is. Because they're trusting in themselves. They lack that boldness. Oh, God, I don't know if you're going to answer this or not. And God, I don't know if this is your will, but I do hope and pray that this might be. And then they're full of doubts and fears. God says, I require a certain boldness when you come to me in prayer. Not boldness in yourself, but boldness in who I am and who my son is and what you have in Christ. Don't be ashamed of Christ and what he's done for you. Proclaim it loudly and clearly before God. David did. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. It's a boldness not in and of ourselves, but a boldness in Christ. His work, his person, his salvation. I say those things because so many Christians are ignorant of those things. If somebody came up and asked you this morning, and I'm just challenging you, I'm not trying to humiliate anybody, but I'm challenging you. If somebody came up and said, what do you mean by the person of Christ? Could you explain that? That's almost like somebody coming up and say, okay, you've been married 40 years. Tell me something about your wife. What would you do? You'd start explaining what you know about your wife. 40 years, you'd know something about her or his person. Well, they're like this. They're faithful. They're true. They're loving. They support me. They're kind. Why? Because you know their person. It's the same thing with Christ. What is the person of Christ? Oh, let me tell you about my beloved, Song of Solomon's. He's beautiful, he's fair, he's lovely, he protects me. The person of Christ cherishes me, he's there for me, he supports me, he encourages me. What's his work? Oh, he works salvation for me. He sits at the right hand of the Father, he intercedes on my behalf. He's my prophet, my priest, my king. This is my Christ, what's his salvation? It's perfect, I'm saved forever. You see, we need to know more about God. That's the boldness. And so many Christians lack that boldness in prayer because they lack knowledge or understanding of who Christ is and what he's actually done for us. And you know, without such boldness, many prayers go unanswered. Do you know God sometimes don't answer our prayers because we're weak and beggarly? Now, don't misunderstand me, but I think this gets the point across. You come weak and beggarly, sometimes I feel as God's kind of looking at us going, what are you, a wimp? Do you want this? Do you want this? Then claim it. Not on your own righteousness, not on your own merit, but on Christ, my son. Claim his goodness. Claim his works. Claim his person. And I'll give you what you want, but don't be weak and beggarly with my son. Bring him before me. Put him right in front of my face and say, this is why I'm crying for mercy, because of Christ. He's obtained that for me. And in your faithfulness, in your truth and veracity, and in your righteousness, which means you're just God, therefore you have to. I expect you to fulfill that because of what Christ did. That's the boldness in Christ that we should have. The psalmist believes, look at this, and expects what God has promised he will make good. That's what he says. That's what he means when he says, in your faithfulness. He believes it, listen to me, and he expects it. Because God is faithful and because God is righteous. Such humble expectation in prayer is all too rare today, beloved. And I believe it accounts for many unanswered prayers. We come weak and beggarly before God as though Christ has obtained nothing for us, as though we have nothing to claim. David said, don't bring me into judgment, because I'll not be able to stand before you in judgment. I'm a sinner. Yes, I'm no good. It's not on my merit. But oh, on the merits of Jesus Christ, I stand before the God, the God of all grace and mercy, and I claim His works, His salvation, His person, and because of that, Lord God, and because You're faithful, You're true, and because of Your righteousness, because You're a just God, the judge of all the earth not do just or be just and righteous? He's claiming the attributes of God. You remember the story when Jacob wrestled with an angel all night in Genesis? Angel of the Lord came. We all hope and pray you believe that, but that was the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Angel of the Lord wrestled with Jacob all night. Now, I'm sure we all know that the Lord didn't have to wrestle with Jacob all night. He could have ended that battle in no time. But he let Jacob wrestle all night. And when the dawn came, the angel of the Lord said, let me go. And Jacob said, not until you bless me. The angel touched his thigh and Jacob limped the rest of his life. Just simply touched his thigh and it was over with. God said, you're no more Jacob, you're Israel. You know what Hosea said? He had strength and power with God. You know why? Why did the angel of the Lord wrestle with Jacob all night? It's a symbol of prayer. You want it? Pray for it. Not once, not twice, not three times, not 2 minutes, not 5 minutes. You pray for it. And when you come to me, don't you come weak and beggarly. Don't you come in your own merits. You come strong in Christ, my son. You exalt him. You exalt him. You bring him before me. And you do it with boldness. And you watch how I answer your prayer. But don't come weak and beggarly. You know what leads the group that goes off into hell in Revelations? You know what leads that group? Read it sometimes. First one is the fearful. I'd say, don't come like that to me. My son's done more for you than that. My son's obtained more than that. Claim it. If it's yours, if you've got it by faith, if Christ is in you, then claim it. Raise it up. Bring it before me. Be bold in Christ. Bring me that. And watch me answer your prayer. Expectation. Do we expect God to answer our prayers, or we just simply hope He does? Try expecting it, like David did. In thy righteousness, your faithfulness and your righteousness. God's not unjust to desert the true believer or break His promises to them. He's righteous. Having graciously promised, that's faithfulness, God is now righteously bound. Listen to me. David is saying, because you're faithful, you are now righteously bound to help me if I'm obeying and submitting myself to you. Listen to me. That's what in thy righteousness means. Because you've been faithful, graciously promised, now because of your righteousness, that's what he's saying. He's telling God, because you're righteous, you're bound to help me if I submit and obey you. He's holding God to his promises. Now, don't misunderstand that statement. It's not making man sovereign and God weak. This is how God ordains prayer to be. Martin Luther said it best. There's a sovereign act in every prayer. God has ordained it to be so. So David is saying, because you faithfully promised something and because you're righteous, I expect you to be bound to fulfill that promise when I submit myself to you and obey you. You ever prayed like that? I haven't as much as I should. Beloved, many true believers today never make it across the threshold into the throne of grace, but are held captive in the outer court by doubts and fears, all because they're not acquainted with all the spiritual blessings Christ has obtained for them. Because they don't know what they have in Christ, their prayers are weak and beggarly. Learn how to pray. You say, preacher, what book can I read? Oh, there's so many books out there on prayer. There's abundant books on prayer. The best book is the Bible. How do I learn to pray? Pray. Get in the Word, read it, meditate over it, pray over it. Because like John Gill said, and I believe this all my heart too, John Gill or John Owens, one of the two, don't want to misquote somebody. The greatest prayer that honors and glorifies God is the prayer that echoes God's Word the most. Because nothing honors God more than His own Word. So the more I get into God's Word, and the more I apply it to prayer, the more God's honored, and the more God answers my prayer. Pray this, not this. Pray this, not this. Pray with this, and with that, but pray this. Pray with understanding. Pray with heart, but pray this. That's what David's doing. Let me close with two verses. The prophet Hosea complained against God's people was my people. He speaks in God's place. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea chapter 4. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. There's a lot of destruction today. Because Christians are not learning, not reading, not meditating, not seeking Christ. But Daniel said this. And listen closely. One of my favorite verses in the Bible has been for years. Daniel says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. That means heroic acts. That means noble achievements. The people that do know their God shall be strong. What in themselves? No, in God. And they shall do, not simply talk. They'll do heroic acts. That's how David starts this psalm. That's how David begins this psalm. And next week, I want to really get down to that verse 8, because this is where David comes to. Even though he feels desolate, he feels forsaken, he's troubled, his spirit's overwhelmed, he pleads with God to show him, cause me to hear thy loving kindness. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. Now, I'm not going to get on that this morning, but I'll tell you one thing. There's something, people can say what they want to, but there's something about the morning hours. Look up in Scripture. Get a concordance. There's something about the morning hours when you get up fresh from a night's rest. You rise from bed and you begin to pray and meditate upon the things of God. You break out the Scriptures. You begin to read before the day even begins. And you spend that first quiet hours in solitude with God, and you pray and you seek His face. There's something about that time that refreshes the soul. And David says in the morning, he doesn't say, may I or could I? He says, cause me. That's force it. Cause me, work it, to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. What an amazing prayer David puts up before God. When's the last time, and I'll close with this, I promise. When's the last time you and I have heard the loving kindness of God? I mean, really heard the loving kindness of God. When's the last time we prayed and really felt as though the presence of God was with us? It endeared our hearts to Him, to His Word. When was the last time Christ was precious? If you don't have that yearning, I would question my salvation this morning, because salvation is not just simply being a church member, going to a church, being religious, being moral. Salvation is knowing the Lord. This is eternal life, that they might know Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ. if you don't yearn, if you don't long to know Christ like that, I wouldn't want to face death because I'd be afraid I didn't know him. But those that know him, cherish him and love him and desire him. So, beloved, next time you pray, pray humbly, but pray with expectation. Pray with boldness, not in yourself, but in what Christ has given you and I. Take that, all that Christ has done and given you and I, and bring it before the throne of grace and claim it with expectation. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. And watch how God answers your prayers. Praise God, what a glorious God we have. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. We pray for those this morning, Lord, especially who heard this message and their hearts are yet left untouched, empty. Lord, their conscience at this very moment is bothering and disturbing them because they know they don't have a relationship like this with thee. Lord, we pray that you'd give them no rest till they find peace and joy and happiness and salvation in Christ. Lord, I pray for those believers this morning, Lord, who are in trouble, who are afflicted, who are struggling. Help us to learn from David, to turn our faith and our hope not to ourselves, but to everything Christ has done and is doing in us. Lord, to pray with boldness, not in ourselves, but in Christ, to pray in expectation because of what Christ has done and is doing. Oh, Lord, we pray, forgive us for being weak and beggarly. Forgive us for being overconfident in ourselves. Help us, dear God, we pray. Bless our small church. Use us for your honor and glory. Bless now as we go our ways, for we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Lord bless you. Hope you all have a nice afternoon today. Stay cool. Thank you for coming, visitors. It's good to see fellow Colemanites. Got a bunch of homies here. Amen. Have a blessed week. We'll see you, Lord willing, next week.